Good evening, and welcome once again to Your Legal Rights on KALW-FM 91.7 in San Francisco. I'm your host, Jeff Hayden. Recent shows have focused on how we're all adjusting to a new normal. From pandemic to civil unrest, from re-examining how we go to work to re-examining race relations, or how our children get to school, or even how this program is remote broadcasted. Tonight, we have a few really different stories to tell you. First is the story of one man and how one person could and did make a difference. He spotted an invitation to disaster, and well, I'll have him tell you about what was in store and what was done. And then a second story of working in the trenches of the justice system in the only county that's not been placed on the watch list, and yet how the justice system is really limping. A story repeated in every county in the state, and in fact, throughout the nation. And this is in one of the best functioning counties within the state. There's much to discuss. Our phone number right here is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, you can call us toll free at 866-798-8255. Again, that's 866-798-8255. Bear in mind, please, that our attorney guest can't provide you precise legal advice as we don't have all the facts relating to a given case. However, we're happy to pass along the legal principles to assist you in your decision-making. And please, when you call us, remember these events affect all of us. Try to keep your calls civil and not personal. Again, our phone number in the studio is 415-841-4134. If you'd like us to pick up the freight because you're calling out of San Francisco, call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. Joining us tonight, Brent Turner, resident of Half Moon Bay, who's been spearheading a community effort to spread the message to visitors to stay home over the 4th of July weekend, especially as the coronavirus cases continue to climb, and they've continued to climb. Carrie Mueller is the chair of the San Mateo County Surfrider chapter, that is the Surfrider Foundation, which is active in litigating to keep access to the coastline available to all of us. And formerly a deputy public defender in Sacramento County, Paula Spano brings 20 years of experience to her Redwood Citizens against criminal accusations and mental health commitments. To all of my guests tonight, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
You know, I'd like to really start with the story about the 4th of July and what really happened there. It really didn't start on the 4th of July. When did it start?
Well, hello, Jeff, and hello to all the listeners out there and your esteemed guests. I had a thought about a week before the 4th of July that perhaps it might just be a possibility that our county was not prepared, San Mateo County was not prepared for the spiking virus coupled with the crowds destined for the coastside region. And just to make sure they had a plan in place, I gave a call to one of the local council members. And lo and behold, there was not a satisfactory answer. So I...
Now, at that point, we've all been seeing stories on the news and seeing photos from LA and Orange counties where you almost needed a shoehorn to pass between the bodies on the beach.
Correct. And Half Moon Bay, Pacifica areas don't usually suffer it to that extent because our beaches aren't quite literally that large, but we do get an influx. And so upon looking further and questioning, it was obvious that in fact there was no plan, and that the as we watched the pandemic spike further, it looked like a recipe for disaster. So at that point, I took some action and gathered some steam and some allies And we did manage to have the beaches closed for the 4th of July weekend. But unfortunately, that's not a sustainable action as it was citizen driven. We have to really have a functional government to handle these spike situations. And so far, unfortunately, in San Mateo County, we're seeing that the powers that be seem to be aligned more with a Trump sort of understanding, a Trumpian sort of understanding of the virus, and they've been less than forward thinking as far as reacting and providing health and safety to the citizens.
So where did all this start? This started, was it back in Memorial Day weekend with all the crowds? Was that really when all this got started?
Well, we noted it on Memorial Day, but my thought really was only around the 4th of July. It just dawned on me that they might not have a plan. And so that was the situation. Luckily, we did manage to get some good senators involved. So the lieutenant governor came forward, and basically we prodded the mayors to take action. That was their duty, we thought, was to protect the health and safety of the townspeople and others and the people of California and the world. And they did that on the 4th of July. Unfortunately, this following weekend, they weren't so bold. And I think what happened was the powers that be got wind of our success on the 4th of July, and they didn't appreciate that. And they, the county officials in San Mateo, they're under what I believe is a misunderstanding that they have a duty, they think, to keep us off the watch list, what they call the watch list. So it looks like they're crafting their actions to keep us off the watch list, where many of us think that if it's bad enough to even be talking about whether or not you're on a watch list, you should probably err on the side of caution. And until we get our arms around this information and this virus. And so San Mateo has been what I think can be coined terminally unique in the fact that we're off the watch list as of today. Gavin Newsom's press conference, many people in the town thought he would be announcing for sure that we were finally on the watch list and we would get some relief. But in fact, again today, it was omitted that San Mateo would be joining that list.
Yesterday, Scott Morrow, that's the county health officer, had that's the chair of the Department of Public Health, and he opined that the reason that San Mateo stands so differently is because we're in a position where fewer of the residents in San Mateo are frontline workers of a nature of people that can't afford to take the time off, that have to go to work every day. We have a much higher percentage of people that are able to work remotely or that have the luxury of being able to take a little time here and there. And it's spared us the same impact that's taken effect in other counties. The numbers and the numbers in those other counties, they do seem to continue to climb. What kind of pushback did you get? I mean, I know Half Moon Bay itself, both a bedroom community, but also a tourist location. Did you get a lot of pushback from them?
Well, there's some phantom bosses involved. We think we know some of the folks that sit at the top behind the curtain, but whoever it is, I think they are terminally short-sighted, because I think it's fairly obvious by the New Zealand model in comparison to the Texas model, or the we've heard in San Mateo some of the county leaders bandy about the term herd immunity, the Sweden model, that if you mess around with this virus, you're going to lose. And the best thing business could do is to get on the other side of this, which we believe is to go the opposite direction rather than forging forth with ego and the best laid plans of mice and men. We think it is more prudent to shelter and avoid contact, certainly close the beaches and disincentivize people from traveling to the coastside regions. So it seems like whoever is calling the shots is horribly misinformed, and some have even guessed that they might be getting their information from Facebook, which seems to be ginning up the concept of it's Americana to stay open in the face of the virus and to sort of dismiss the virus. And of course, the Facebook arena, we know, has been gamed by bots. That's in Newsweek and Time Magazine. That the sentiment there, if these business folks are getting their direction from Facebook, we see the problem. But it's hard to imagine they're so short-sighted. We understand there's economic realities here, but if we really want to do the business community a favor, I think we err on the side of caution and try to get past this moment rather than wallowing in it in perpetuity, perhaps.
Now, Carrie Mueller and I, we were speaking before going on the air, and I understand the Surfrider Foundation may have a different perspective on access to the coast. And I'd like to give you a chance to tell us what your concerns are.
Certainly. Thank you.
I anticipate you don't completely disagree across the board, but you do have some competing interests.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Yes, my name is Carrie Mueller. I'm the chair of the San Mateo County chapter of Surfrider. First of all, Surfrider's main agenda item for this entire coronavirus episode that we've been experiencing over the last 5+ months is that health comes first. So we actually ended up sort of shutting down all our operations. We didn't do beach cleanups. We didn't do water testing, absolutely prescribing to whatever state or local county official mandates were in place. But also paying attention to all the beaches that were being closed. And we actually have a spreadsheet of every single one of those throughout the United States so that when restrictions get eased up or let go, we know that those beaches get opened back up. We want to make sure that there's no closure and then somebody thinks, oh, well, I can just keep this closed because it's local and I don't want to have non-local people hanging out at my beach. So we're lucky in the state of California, everybody has access to every single beach. All the beaches here on our coastline are public. So with health in mind, we ceased sort of our own operations. And then with us being in stage 3 now as a county, we were able to start going out and testing the water and having our beach cleanups. In fact, I was actually at the beach last weekend. I led a beach cleanup at Poplar Beach. And, you know, people are smart and they pay attention and they follow guidelines. And we're really lucky in San Mateo County that people are doing that. We have a county of 727,000 people. We've only had 144 people die from this disease, which is sad, but we've been really lucky in that we've been very, very low hit as far as the numbers go. When I was at that beach cleanup last weekend, every single person there had a mask on. They're out in big spaces, open spaces, and they're all prescribing to what we know we should be doing. They're distancing, they're sanitizing, they're wearing their mask. And from a Surfrider standpoint, access is really important. We work with a lot of organizations, Brown Girl Surf, Black Girl Surf, City Surf, and their main focus is getting underserved communities to the beach. There are kids who've never seen the beach, believe it or not, who are in the Bay Area. It's remarkable. So making sure that these organizations can get these underserved communities to the beach is very important. Again, access to everybody. And these underserved communities often don't have the natural hiking trails and other access to get out and enjoy nature. And we know that being outside is the best thing we can do. Gathering in a group inside is probably one of the worst things we can do. So we feel that the access is a really important issue. And saying that only locals can use a beach when Dr. Morrow, our public health officer, is saying it's okay to have those beaches open, then Surfrider as an entity is going to have an issue with that. again, health is important and health is first. But if our governors and our local commissioners are saying those beaches can be open, we want to encourage everybody to get out to those beaches. Follow the guidelines, wear your mask, distance, you know, use your sanitizers, but get outside and enjoy those beaches.
For those people from outside the region, I don't know if they fully appreciate the import of some of the words you just said.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but at the beach, I should have pointed that out. There's big signage at the beach. So it's pretty clear what people need to do.
Jeff, let me say that, you know, I appreciate that sentiment, and it would make perfect sense if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic. Of course, we want people to go to the beach, and of course, everybody should have access, and certainly not should the locals try to exclude anybody from the beach community. When we talk about closing the beach, that's because we're in the middle of a pandemic and people should be avoiding contact and they shouldn't be traveling and they shouldn't be going anywhere.
Not actually what our public health commissioner is telling us.
But unfortunately, this over-reliance on the great wisdom of the politicians, it's a bit naive at this point. The reason we're in this mess is because the government has failed us and mismanaged a pandemic situation. As citizens, it is incumbent upon us to respect each other, and we want kids to go to the beach, just not in the middle of a pandemic, because it'll get more people sick, and we want to avoid that.
So you want those kids to stay in their home and gather as families, because people are gathering.
I don't want any of this. Make no mistake. What I want is the best health and safety practice, and right. Traveling into a destination location and bringing in an influx of potential infection is not healthy, not only for the people of the destination, but it's not healthy for the people that come to the destination and then return to their own counties. It's a lot to do with the travel and the motion around the final act of being at the beach that creates the necessity for closure. And of course, the sooner we can get on the other side of this pandemic, the more fun at the beach everyone will have.
Right. Well, I guess our take on it is, you know, we do have a government and we do need to listen to our government. And you can speculate on whether they're right or wrong, but you cast your vote to help make that decision on who's there. And since the government and the health officials are looking at this every single day and deciding what's safe and what's not, we need to listen to them.
So yes, the health officials, yes. But the government in San Mateo County has been a little problematic with their response. That's why citizens had to close on the 4th. So they're already proven as deficient in response, and we want to shore them up.
But where's the proof in that?
I think we can be doctors, not to mischaracterize health official Scott Morrow's statements. He's been very clear that any gatherings are to be disincentivized.
That's an interpretation, except for every single scientist and Dr. Scott Morrow himself would say getting outside is the healthiest thing we can do. And since the beaches are not closed, then we need to respect that and let the citizens get to the beach.
Well, let me interrupt for a moment. We have a caller in queue who I'd like to put through. You're on the air. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Do we still have our caller? Apparently not. So you may resume. You know, one thing that I don't think people know that are listening to us is the role that the Surfrider Foundation has played in making it so that we do have access to the beaches statewide from the northern to the southern end of the state. And there was some recent litigation.
Mm. Jeff, I think you cut out. We can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. For those that are listening, my audio had completely out. You're listening to Your Legal Rights. We'll be back in just a moment. For those... We're having some minor technical...
I think we've been hacked.
You're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden, and I'm the one with all the audio problems. Tonight, we're talking about the virus, your access to the coastline, the breakdown of the justice system. If you have questions from my guests, our phone number is 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, you can call us toll-free at 866-798-8255. We'll pay the freight at 866-798-8255. As always, you can call regarding any question on tonight's topics. You're not limited to where we may be in our conversation. Yes, the sirens went off, but we don't have any company, so we can resume where we left off. One of the things that that people weren't aware is the role that the Surfrider Foundation played in litigation to keep the coastline open when a very large, you know, very wealthy individual tried to purchase a nice chunk of it and restrict access. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how that might play into your thinking at this point?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, a certain individual bought the property down at Martin's Beach. I think it's 50 some acres. And there's only one way down to that beach. It's a road that crosses his property. There's cliffs on either side of the beach. So aside from taking a boat to it, you have to cross that road to get down to it. The prior owners had always left the gate to that beach open. And so it's a popular surf spot. It's a beautiful beach, one of the prettiest beaches on the coast. And it always had been, the gate has always been left open, so everyone had access. Well, once the new owner took over the property, he closed the gate, locked it, and put up the no trespassing sign. So when surfers, beachcombers, whatever, tried to go down to the beach, he called the sheriff and asked them to write a citation. Surfrider and the Coastal Commission and some other entities took this up and said, all right, that this is not right. You can't deny access to a public piece of property. And we ended up, unfortunately, unable to come to a conclusion with the property owner. And so it escalated into the courts, eventually actually reaching the California Supreme Court, which decided that no, that gate could not be kept locked. In fact, it needed to be open from sunup to sundown, and people could walk across that gate and walk down the property to the beach, 7 days a week. And if he closed that gate, he was going to be fined $11,000-ish or something a day. He appealed that. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court denied it, and the California Supreme Court had ruled in our favor that the gate had to be open. So the gate has been open. I think it did get closed for part of the beach closures. We still continue to monitor it and make sure it's left open. But yeah, that was a very, very big win for Surfrider. And I think it brought a lot of awareness to people that we do own our beaches. We're a very lucky state. If you go up to the state of Washington, almost 70% of the beaches are owned by private individuals. And not everybody's aware of that. This is actually a state-based thing, but we're very, very fortunate in California to have access to all our coastline. And I do want to point out one thing. I think, Brent, I appreciate your perspective for sure. But I feel that it presumes that people don't know how to behave. And as I said, when I was at the beach last weekend, there were people from all over. I mean, I talked to them. I literally had 50 people at my beach cleanup with big smiles behind their masks. They were so grateful to be out at the beach. Kids, older people, everything. And they were all in masks. And so I do think people are smart and they know how to behave. They know what's going on here. And they're just so grateful to get out and enjoy our beaches that they're not abusing it. And it was a beautiful thing to see. It just warmed my heart to see so many people there out cleaning trash and enjoying it and doing the right thing. So I disagree with you that you're going to cause the pandemic to get worse by allowing people to congregate outdoors, because they're doing the right thing when they get together.
Well, you're just out of step with the science on it, Carrie. And I'm a fan, by the way, and the work that you did to keep the beaches open and in the Kosolo situation, you're a hero to the community. But if you are pandering on this one to business interests, we should knock that off because it's the wrong answer. We're going to get people more sick and have more pain if we can just be adults like New Zealand and suffer, bite the bullet up front and get through this. Maybe it's a month of taking weekends off from the beach or the movie theaters, or even outdoor dining might have to be cut back. It could be even so bad that people can't go to the gym for a month or two. We're a very privileged society. Unfortunately, the people that are in the crosshairs of this issue are not myself or you. It is the communities of color that are suffering the brunt of this. And we have to be very careful because we don't know the origin of this situation. We think we have our arms around it, but it's a very dangerous situation. And I think we have to err on the side of health and safety and caution. But I do appreciate your work. I just think you have the wrong answer here because your answer is the same as Donald Trump's answer and as the Chamber of Commerce's answer. It is damn the torpedoes, throw the health and safety of the population into risk. And I just can't abide. I think we have to be very careful here.
Let me turn it over to Mark from San Francisco. Mark, you're on Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hello. Thank you. I have a couple of thoughts here. I, first of all, wanted to call right away when your guest was talking about how people are being in San Mateo County. And it made me think, I am constantly, every day, I'm so proud of San Franciscans, of this city. And people are, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And it's no big deal. You wear a mask. If someone's coming towards you on the sidewalk, you walk over that side. It's no big deal. And the people who, I think that there's some parts of this discussion that are going a bit backwards. The only reason for the rules is that people misbehave. Yes, yes. That's exactly right. And I, you know, and finally, I'm thinking that the beach and the woods, these are the best places to be. And they are the healthiest places to be. So the idea that people can't be outside and stay away from each other, and it's absurd. And I have one more question for you all. Since I think, can we all agree that if people would do this, if every single person in the entire country would put on a mask and stay 6 feet away from other people, this thing could be completely gone in a month. Is that right? Isn't that right? So why can't that happen? Why is that so impossible? Thank you.
It was happening last weekend at the beach. So, like I said, everyone was incredibly well behaved and had huge smiles behind their masks to be outdoors enjoying the beach.
You were at a different beach than we were, Carrie, and we couldn't see the people smiling or crying because they all had masks on, which makes us all very sad. You think it's beautiful. We think it's grotesque. We want this to stop and to get on the other side of it.
Well, hang on, sorry. To the person who called in, everybody at the beach was distanced and wearing a mask. They were not congregating in close proximity to each other. They were literally just out enjoying nature, which is one of the safest things they can do, particularly following protocol. So I don't understand.
Not what we saw, Carrie. I don't know what beach you were at, but people were congregating without masks, very callously, and infecting each other, and lives will be lost because we can't get this right. So if you're comfortable with lives being lost, then hallelujah. I am not, and we have to get on the other side of this virus.
Speaking of having to get on the other side, of this break, you're listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM. We'll be back right after this.
Mm-hmm. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you live in San Francisco or Marin County, the Bar Association's lawyer referral service can arrange for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. Call 415-989-1616 or visit sfbar.org for more information.
Listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco. I'm Jeff Hayden. With me tonight, Brent Turner and Carrie Mueller are discussing the closure or potential closure of beaches in San Mateo County and the effect of the coronavirus. Additionally, we have Paula Spano, also from San Mateo County, who wants to talk a little bit about what has been happening in the justice system and some of what this virus has done to your ability to do things such as clear your record, to see the neighbor prosecuted that's been doing things we won't get into detail, but the whole system has been somewhat frozen, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you are listening to Your Legal Rights. If you have a question for any of my guests, you don't have to jump in right where we are in our conversation. You can call us about any of the above. Our phone number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. If you're outside of San Francisco, call us toll-free. We not only provide the forum, we even pay for it. Call us toll-free, 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-TALK. As always, you can call regarding any question on tonight's topic. You don't have to jump in right where we are in our conversation. I'd like to shift gears a little bit and turn to Ms. Spano for a little bit. Also very familiar with the locations that you've been discussing and has perhaps some insight on that as well. But I wanted to also talk tonight about what's been happening with the justice system. And we're going to talk a little bit about San Mateo County, but remember, that's the only county in the Bay Area that's not on the watch list, presumably in better shape than the rest of the Bay Area. But what's happening here has been happening throughout the state. Every county deals with it a little differently. It's been happening throughout the nation. Some counties, parishes, even whole states deal with it differently. But the fact is, everybody's juggling with the same problems. We've had problems where one person tests positive and it upends the whole system. And some of that has to do with the way the information is disseminated. Other times, it's the only available response for what's going on. So I wanted to chat with you a little bit. When one of the things that people were talking about here is whether people were wearing masks. And frankly, whether that's enough. As far as going to court, have you found masks?
So you cut out just a little bit. Are you asking about masks in court?
Yes. Are you finding that people at the courthouse are wearing masks?
So at first they were not. At first I was wearing a mask. Other people were not. And when the virus first broke out, there was little known about it. I wanted to protect my family and myself. And I also want to protect my clients. So there's a kind of a tension there. But at first, what I did is I had some masks that were left over from when I lived in Sacramento and my husband had breathing problems. So I had, luckily, some of the masks that were medical grade to wear in the courthouse. And at first, I would wear them, and even lawyers and clients and people in the hallway just thought it was strange. And I got a lot of comments before there was a widespread belief that masks were good. I wore sunglasses into court because nobody was wearing a mask but me, and I didn't want people to sneeze and get their spray in my eyes, or we didn't know what the method of transmission was back then. So I did this. The practices varied widely when this first came out. Then what happened was on March the 16th, the Supreme Court Chief Justice of California, Tawny Cantil, she sent out an order that changed the court systems in California. And so that was major, major, major change for all of the courts. But each county has to kind of adopt different rules to respond to the pandemic and kind of fashion their own rules within the bounds allowed by this first order. There have been many orders. The court system is constantly changing. This is pretty unprecedented. There's a lot of fear, rightfully so. One of the things that people that don't take the virus that seriously fail to realize, I don't think that they include the incarcerated population in the overall numbers. And know that San Quentin alone, which I has a lot of my clients in the past and now, had about a third of the population. Last I checked, it was over 1,000 people that were positive and people dying. So the jail system is set up that social distancing and mask wearing and all of that stuff is not really possible in the way it is outside of that. There's no circulation. And so the people that are in the jail, sometimes the public cares less about them than they should, in my opinion. But then they also are the people that work at the jail and the people in the justice community that deal with people that are incarcerated, that come into contact with people in very small spaces where it's impossible to social distance. Now we know it's airborne. So it's a very interesting and scary time in the legal system.
The other fact that people don't realize is that most people in the jail as opposed to prison are in a fairly short time. So if you create and allow to maintain this giant incubator of this disease or any disease to spread like wildfire through the jail where people are going fairly regularly, you're creating a ground zero, spread the virus into the community. But let me interrupt. We have a couple callers on queue. Let me turn to Kolya from San Francisco. Welcome to your legal right.
Hi, how are you doing?
Quite well, thank you.
I'm calling about, I wanted to mention too that San Quentin is the oldest prison in California. I think it was 1851 or 1852. But I, as a person who's just 1 year shy of adulthood, you know, I have to speak from experience. I'm a nature lover, and I do think it's extremely healthy. I agree with whatever the ladies there, I forgot her name. But it is healthy to go out, long as you do the proper, you know, mask and distancing and all that sort of thing. And just, you know, arbitrarily say we're just supposed to be shut in, you know, for months on end, you know, being developing, you know, into adults and, you know, growing up, that is a very, very bad recipe for disaster. So I just wanted to put in that, you know, me, I'm a junior, and, you know, in high school, you know, one more semester left and I'm done. But I think it's extremely healthy that we do go out, like even Mirror Woods or something, so long as we do the proper, you know, thing to do. So I just wanted to put my input on that.
Thank you. Your input's always welcome. Did anybody care to comment on that?
Well, again, Jeff, you know, I appreciate when we all do the right thing. It's actually traveling the travel to the destination spot and the interactions that occur and the cross infections that could be avoided that are the issue. We appreciate people getting out and staying safe. We just know from experience that unfortunately, once the things are put in motion, that's when the infections occur. And if we could just stay in place a little more and be considerate of our neighbors, I think we can get through this. But sure, we all want to be at the beach and in the forest and doing our normal routines if we're that lucky to and privileged to have that ability. But if we're going to allow these great pleasures for the children and the people, we need to get on the other side of this. That's why I keep saying, let's do the time. And this thing about San Quentin is just horrifying. And by the way, there's numbers coming into the San Mateo County system that are not being handled properly. And this all plays into us staying off the list. We don't think in San Mateo County that we are that special. We just think there is some manipulation occurring in the processing of those numbers, just to be clear.
Well, the interesting thing, I coincidentally live in Half Moon Bay, and I live right by the coast, right by the beach. And I have the utmost respect for surf riders. I think that was a tremendous victory. And I moved out here because I love the sea. But me being in a high-risk situation with the court system and the jails, I feel a moral obligation to try to stay as sheltered in place as possible. And to that end, I live probably three blocks from the beach, and I haven't been there since COVID started, because the average population in Half Moon Bay, I think, is 55 or older. So it's fun for the children to come out here. Unfortunately, when I've driven home, which is along the one, I'm not seeing everybody wearing the mask and social distancing the way that I hope. That's when I return home from going to court. So, I mean, it's great to have that experience where everybody's social distancing, and that would be great. But what I have seen instead, unfortunately, is me taking 45 minutes literally to drive from my house to Main Street, which is only a couple miles away, because of the amount of people in traffic in Half Moon Bay, desperate to get out of their house because it's terrible. It's terrible to shelter in place. But the reality is everybody's coming to Half Moon Bay. Not everybody's being safe. And we're in a general kind of vulnerable population here on the coast. So I just thought I'd weigh in on that issue.
Well, thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights. I have one other caller. Let me turn it to Elizabeth in Alameda. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I have two comments to make. First, in regard to getting out in nature, I definitely feel that people need to be out in the fresh air and wherever they can immerse themselves in nature is going to nourish their souls and their spirits. However, what I see on our beach is a distressing mix, and I think because this country seems to value individuality and individual rights over the common good, we are always going to have this problem in this country. And my second comment is in regard to the court system here in California. I have a daughter-in-law who is a public defender in Santa Cruz County, and the issues that she has faced as a public defender are just incredible. I just feel like as a country, we are so ill prepared to deal with something like this. And until we have some kind of guidance and agreement, we're going to be putting ourselves at risk despite everybody's best efforts, because not everybody is going to agree. And that is very sad, and I think it's going to prolong this pandemic. I don't know what it's going to take for people to grasp the enormity of the situation and to really see that there is a common good here that we have to adhere to if we're going to survive. So that is my comment. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us, and I appreciate that perspective. We are in a neighboring county in San Mateo, and we were just talking about some of the things that have happened there, not only the access in the individuality, but some related stories. We've had an occasional person test positive, and it's been pretty disruptive. Paula, do you know how many trials have gone out in the last few weeks?
I know for a fact that on July the 20th, because of the positive test in court staff, that all jury trials are suspended again. They had suspended jury trials. Then there was another changing order that allowed them, and then they were kind of wondering how that would work with social distancing, and how you would give clients the right of confrontation that they're entitled to and they deserve as part of due process. So they dip their toe in that water, and then there's a positive test, and again, the jury trials are suspended, which means there are people that are in limbo, basically, waiting for their day in court that can't have access to the court right now. The court is doing what it can to respond to this emergency, and almost every other day passes new rules to try to navigate this uncharted territory. But it's not normal. It's not going to be normal. People are going to get hurt in this system and these times. And it's just, there's some really difficult choices being made right now. But there are no jury trials going out right now. They are suspended.
They had one recent trial a few weeks ago. I tried one of the attorneys that tried that case on the air, but he wasn't able to make it tonight. If you wonder what a trial would look like in a courtroom during the pandemic, you'll have to keep wondering, because the courtrooms are not open to the public. And unless you have a case of your own going through court right now, you're not only not going to be allowed in the courtroom, but you're not going to get courthouse. And it's like that in much of the state. Very limited who can exit. They try to allow you to get in to do business if you have something to file, or if you have an appearance you have to make. But if your name's not there, you're probably not getting in, and you're not going to see what this looks like.
And they have had in San Mateo County entire calendars just vacated. So, for example, there's been a client of mine that has wanted to be arraigned since, I don't know, March, April, early April, and now just got notification that the court is being rescheduled next year. So, I mean, that there's not even access to the court for some kind of low level cases, because the court has to make very difficult decisions on what to do. They've closed down, for the most part, the South San Francisco courthouse. They're doing very limited business. All of the preliminary hearings for felony cases are being handled in Redwood City. How long that's going to last, I don't know. But people are being excluded from the courtroom. On some occasions, the judge will allow an audience member to come in, but at the very doors of the courthouse, they're checking to see why you're there and whether they want to let you in to the building or not. So they're doing a lot of things that are very different, strange, and unique during these times.
And we're balancing it in different counties in different ways. In San Mateo, they remained open, but limited which types of calendars, which types of events were considered essential. But in some of our surrounding counties, they out and out closed, you know, closings for weeks on end.
Yes. I think Sacramento was that way. They just closed everything. Period.
Alameda had a period where they were closed. Contra Costa had a period where they were closed. Santa Clara had some closed courthouses and some open courthouses. If you're there for something other than criminal cases where they have constitutional guarantees that you're going to get through, some of which have been suspended. There are other types of events where you just can't get in. Trying to get a restraining order in much of the state is next to impossible.
So I do mental health law as well as criminal law. I do some conservatorship work, and those conservatorship clients are, and for people that don't know what a conservatorship is, it's a situation where certain rights and liberties are taken away from you in exchange for having a public guardian make life decisions and provide housing, clothing, medication, this kind of thing. But a lot of those clients, most of those clients are in these very high risk, skilled nursing, locked facility situations. And so when you have a situation where the courts are closing and you have an extremely vulnerable population in a very high risk situation, it's even worse, I think, than the San Quentin situation in some circumstances.
There's no oversight. And it's, we did a program on nursing homes, very similar. They're, to the extent that they are regulated, they're regulated by the same folks, but there's no oversight, and many of them support and many of them don't report at all. Turn it over to Howard in San Jose. Howard, you're on Your Legal Rights.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I only just joined in on your program, so I'm sorry if this already came up, but wouldn't this be a great opportunity to digitize the courtroom? I mean, wouldn't it save a government a lot of money to not have to bring people into the same building in order to conduct justice? And if you could, like, put everyone on a Zoom version of court, wouldn't it also make justice go a little faster? And jurors wouldn't have to decide, wouldn't have to choose between, like, being in one place or another in order to do jury duty.
Some of that's taking place. It's different levels in different counties, but be careful what you wish for.
I have some comments on that. I thought that was a great question. Excellent question. And the courtrooms sometimes are using Zoom, but then sometimes the courts are still requiring that we have, if somebody wants to enter a plea in their case, a signed form, which means that we go into the jail, visit them in person, and sit there in a little visiting room while they sign a piece of paper. And that's still going on every single day. They're trying to move more in a technological way, and they have made a lot of progress. They weren't prepared for this before this hit. But there are also things like confrontation rights, due process rights. If you're my juror, how do I know that you're not multitasking and surfing Facebook or Googling my client who just, you know, ended up, unfortunately, in the newspaper? They have the controlled situation in jury trials where you're all kind of attentive and sitting in a room for a reason. And that's so that people, number one, pay attention, and number two, don't delve, hopefully, into outside sources to consider when considering whether somebody's liberty should be taken away from them or not. So there are interesting constitutional issues involved in fully digitizing and going full technology. But again, that's another challenge of the legal system that I think everybody's working very hard to try to figure out as quickly as possible.
All right. I wish we could spend more time with it. I'm afraid we're out of time for tonight, but it is a subject that I would love to take up on a future show or even talking to you off the air. But thank you for joining us in Your Legal Rights. I did promise to give each of my three guests tonight a minute or so to sum up, and we're really down to that time now. Who would like to go first? Carrie, I noticed you're not on mute. Why don't you jump in?
Wait, the other two aren't on mute either, but okay, that's fine. I'll jump in. I would just like to close with saying, again, I trust in people. The people that I see at the beaches are doing the right thing. They're masking, they're distancing. I'm grateful for their ability to get out to the beach and to follow the rules. I understand that we are in a pandemic, but we've also been in this pandemic for over 5 months. And asking people to continue to stay in their houses is just not reasonable at this point. People need to get out for their own mental health. We know that the mental health issues are rising and rising, and sadly, that's going to become a very big issue. So requiring them to stay inside and not get out and enjoy nature is not, I don't think that's right. And since our government's not telling us that we can't do that, having a group of citizens come up with that, in our opinion, my opinion, is not the right thing to do. We elected our government officials. We need to listen to them as far as what we do. And we need to be responsible of that. And all the people that I saw last weekend were very much being responsible to those guidelines.
Brent Turner, take about a minute. Sum up.
Well, I think I'll rest my case, Jeff, at this point. I think it's fairly apparent that we need to avoid centralized associations with other people. We can't coagulate. We can't go anywhere where there's going to be a large influx of people. I think it's all obvious. We need to be more like New Zealand, less like Texas. We want to be leading here. We've never said to anybody, stay inside. So all these little word games are going to get us in trouble. We have to just keep very clear that we want to get on the other side of this, and best health and safety practices should be adhered to. So thank you.
Paula Spano, you have less than a minute.
Okay, I just wanted to thank everybody. I thought that this panel was amazing, and I thought that everybody had really good points to bring up. These are very difficult times, and there are competing interests here. Just so complicated and so layered in terms of trying to balance freedom, happiness, nature, and just scientific fact. I just really gonna take away from all of this that I'm doing my part and hope everybody else does their part to keep our neighbors safe. I'm trying to keep my family safe. I want to keep your family safe. And I hope that everybody just tries to do the best they can.
Thank you. And you're right about one thing. I completely agree. Everyone on both sides sees this as very complicated stuff. Everybody's trying to reach a balance. You've been listening to Your Legal Rights on KALW 91.7 FM in San Francisco, where we've been talking tonight about the pandemic, the courts, your access to the beach. Our guests tonight have been Brent Turner, longtime resident of Half Moon Bay, who spearheaded a community effort to spread the message to visitors to stay home over the 4th of July as the coronavirus cases continue to climb. Carrie Mueller, the current chair of the San Mateo County Surfrider, the Surfrider chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. They've been quite active in keeping the coastline open. And Paula Spano, formerly a deputy public defender in Sacramento, now brought her 20 years experience to her Redwood City practice, where she defends against criminal accusations and mental health commitments. To each of my guests, Paula Spano, Carrie Mueller, Brent Turner, thank you all for joining us tonight. Your Legal Rights will be back next week, again at our new time of 6 o'clock, where we will discuss federal agents being sent into the big cities. Is this a diversion or is there something more afoot? In 2 weeks, we'll discuss unfair competition and unfair business practices. Again, you've been listening to Your Legal Rights. Our thanks to all of you for listening, to our guests for tonight. And at the controls, Debbie Kennedy, I'm Jeff Hayden. Be safe and have a good night. Thank you.